right, welcome to the Steve Gerber Show. Glad to have you back. You've probably heard me talk about this if you've listened to the program for any time at all. My grandmother taught public school in Hillsdale, Michigan, for 44 years. My mother taught public school in Michigan as well, in Weberville. She did that for 30 years. So I'd say I have a pretty close relationship with education, public education, and schools and school teachers and so forth. When I irritated my mother, I had a much closer relationship with that teacher on occasion, if you know what I'm saying. Our next guest, Josh Cowan, Associate Professor of Education Policy in the College of Education at Michigan State University. Josh, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to talk to you about schools of choice. Sure. First of all, you know, it's a term we hear a lot, but I think most parents get up, send their kid out to the bus stop, don't think much about it, really, as a general rule. Just explain to our listeners what schools of choice is, what it means, and what it isn't.
Sure. Well, schools of choice in Michigan is actually the formal name for a set of programs that districts use across the state to permit essentially open enrollment between districts that are nearby. That's one type of school choice generally, which then we would also include charters and in some other states, things like school voucher programs. But when people say in Michigan, you know, my kid is the schools of choice kid, what they usually mean is my kid is going to another public school outside of the district from which we live.
So when you say from nearby, does it have to be a district that, you know, touches the district that the kid's going to? Maybe they're adjacent, or can it be farther away? How far can somebody travel to pick a school like that?
Generally speaking, these are districts that are next door to each other. But what's interesting about the way that this program works is that districts do determine their own rules and their own sort of participation in general as well. So one of the important things to know about schools of choice is that even though it's something that is provided for by state statute, the details really do vary by district.
I see. So, okay. So why is that? It doesn't sound like it should be very controversial at all. And yet, schools of choice seems to be a hot button issue, especially every time you get into an election season like the one we're in. Why is it such an emotional topic?
Well, the emotional topic side of it, that's something that you all may be able to answer as much for me, but from the research side, for those of us who have looked at this kind of program, I think there are a couple of big concerns. One is there is some degree of confusion with schools of choice, and I think, again, charter schools in general, because people know that school choice involves different kinds of things. But as far as this program in particular is concerned, you know, there are winners and losers at the district level here from a school finance standpoint. So some districts are going to lose kids in the funding that goes with them. Other districts are going to gain kids, and there's concern, I think, depending on which district you're in, about the impact of that on the way on districts' ability to plan and also to ultimately, you know, provide for the kids that they have the legal obligation to provide for, given the money that they have.
To make sure the kids are funded and each pupil is worth a certain amount of money, we know that, which is why certain days earlier in the school year are very important because they affect funding for the district sometimes. Now, tell me, Josh, you say that parents should be trusted with schools of choice, but again, it doesn't take much for people to push back and get angry and get emotional about this, but trusting parents with schools of choice, what does that mean to you?
Well, I don't know that I'm, you know, I don't know that I've made the blanket statement we should trust parents with schools of choice. I certainly don't think we should not trust them. I think the big issue is that these types of programs exist to give parents more choice. There's no question. And so if your perspective is, at the end of the day, what we want to be able to do is give parents as much choice as possible within the public school sector, whether that's, you know, between districts or between a traditional public school and charter schools, then this program is basically doing what it's supposed to in that regard. Where we get into difficulty, I think, is when we're talking about different parents, what we call differential access to information about the schools that they have. So what we would worry about is that parents are making choices based on perhaps what they think is best for their kid, and there may not be sort of full awareness for whatever reasons the schools aren't providing as much information as they possibly could, or parents have potentially misconceptions through no fault of their own about differences in school quality. That's not the case everywhere, but it is one of these concerns when you just sort of, you know, open all of the doors and say, here's what you need to be able to do, and here's the choice that you're allowed to be able to make. This is why you see in different states, and we've talked about it here, it's just a separate issue, the concept of what's called common enrollment. And
sure. And Jess, let me ask you, we're on with Josh Cohen, Associate Professor of Education Policy in the College of Education at Michigan State University, talking about schools of choice and what the advantages may be. Now, if I'm not mistaken, this study from Michigan State found that some groups, and this would make sense to me, that have been historically disadvantaged, you know, poorer groups, minority groups that have live in impoverished areas, have a tendency to benefit more from schools of choice maybe than other groups. Is that an accurate assessment of some of the things you've learned?
Well, what it is, and this is a maddening answer, but it really does depend on the district. So overall, statewide, we do find that disadvantaged kids, those who come from minority race or ethnic groups, those who are lower income, tend to be more likely, and those who are, by the way, lower performing on the state exam, tend to be more likely to transfer out of their home districts under the program. And again, that's statewide. But it's also true that that in some districts, in particular the disadvantaged districts, where you do see actually some of the higher performing kids leaving and some of the white kids leaving and higher performing kids leaving. So it really just depends. But part of the reason for that is parents' assessment of their kids' needs are of course going to depend on the district that they're in. And one of the purposes of these types of programs is to sort of break the link between, you know, where you're able to afford housing and which school you can put your kid into. It's not all that surprising that, again, statewide, you have a system where those who have the means tend to buy homes, for example, in
well, sure.
where they want their kids to go, right? And that's not the case for everybody.
Yeah, and short of becoming China, you know, it's never going to be perfect now, is it? I mean, and certainly China and socialism, communism, estimation, it's not perfect, folks. It's not the comment I'm making, as you well know. But you can't make it all equal. There's always going to be some disparity, I would assume, Josh, but you do your best to iron out some of those bumps and try to make it possible for more kids to have access to better education.
Well, and one of the things that we mention in our report, and I think this has become a trend nationally, is, you know, I'm somebody that does think that test scores, either at the kid level or at the school level, do tell us some important information about both the child's academic achievement but also school performance. But increasingly, we're looking beyond test scores. We're looking at things like graduation rates. We're looking at things like parent satisfaction as an outcome. We're looking at school discipline. We're looking at safety. Parents make choices based on a lot of different criteria, extracurricular activities, the presence of after-school care, for example. So, you know, the metrics we've used are the ones that are available to researchers, which again tend to be things like test scores. It's not clear. We know parents make choices based on all of those things I just listed, and so, you know, it may be that parents are willing to kind of take. I don't think they want to take a loss to their kids' achievement.
No, of course.
They may
not
be willing to say, well, you know, all else equal, I'm willing to deal with not a huge bump in test scores if I can get an after-school program I want or an extracurricular activity or on.
And do the best they can. Yeah, Josh, we got to leave it right there. It's a great conversation. It's about education and our kids. Josh Cohen from Michigan State University. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Steve.